good to be back with you. We had a good week visiting Michelle's parents and her brothers and sister, or her brothers. I have the brother and sister. And celebrating her folks' 40th wedding anniversary. So we are grateful for that. And it was a interesting trip for us in that we weren't going necessarily to work this time, just to go. So it was pretty relaxing for us, which was quite a change and good, especially after coming off the youth trip just 4 days prior. So this morning we're going to, I'm going to do two messages of sorts. It's not going to be twice as long, I told Greg this morning. We're going to give a little bit of an update, a report on the youth trip, and you'll get to hear from the youth as well. I videotaped them, hear their responses to the trip itself, and then we'll actually be looking at 2 Thessalonians 3, the first five verses this morning after that. Before we get into any of this, though, let's, of course, go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to report on the ministry with the youth and even the trip we took. And we know it's something that was done even in the book of Acts. We pray our time this morning would be profitable not only in communicating your word, but may that word sink deep into us and really change us. May it refresh us. May we be encouraged and even challenged this morning. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. And, you know, as I keep on considering that, what an amazing thing that is. The God of the universe revealing himself to us, and not just in the written word, but also in flesh. You are indeed amazing to us, and we give you the thanks and the praise for that and for what you have been doing in and through the teens here. Let me pray these things in your name. Amen. If I could get the PowerPoint. We are on a four-year plan with the youth. I know some of you have heard me talk about this before. We try to take them on several trips over the course of 4 years. One of them being an in-state project, another being an out-of-state project. We try to do a spiritual emphasis trip and then an apologetics emphasis as well. In 2012, we went to the Creation Museum. 2013, we were at Crescent Lake washing dishes, which is not real glamorous, but we have lots of fun doing it. And we were serving the campers there as they were there for a retreat for that week. In 2014, we went to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation where we remodeled part of it. We were putting an addition on a home there. That was our out-of-state outreach or trip project. And then this year we went to the National Youth Convention, which was at Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. And the theme for the convention this year was Enough is Enough. The man that you see there dressed in gray and then in the other picture is Travis Huseby. He is the head coordinator for the IFCA National Youth Division. He runs the whole thing. He has about three other guys under him that help to coordinate this thing. And he goes about not only visiting churches and youth, he organizes a convention, but then he also meets with youth pastors themselves trying to figure out what's ahead, things that can be changed, improved, so on and so forth. This was our crew of teens that went this year. We had eight of them, and then Michelle and myself. So a good group of kids there. We only had two boys this year, which was a little different than usual. Usually we have a few more than that. Last year, I think we only had two girls, though, and it was all boys. So we flipped roles a bit this year. It was June 21st to the 27th, and I wanted, as we were preparing for the trip and as we were on the trip, we saw some answers to prayer, and I wanted to share them with you this morning because I think at times you know, we pray for other people, but we may never hear the results of those prayers and how God has been working. And so I wanted to give you an update and a report on those couple of things so that you could be encouraged this morning. The first of those was the brat fry. We, for larger trips, we usually send out letters, support letters to family and friends and neighbors and so on and so forth. We did that for the trip to South Dakota. And a lot of times that's because it's a rather larger trip. Those kind of trips cost somewhere around $10,000 is what the trip for the South Dakota ones for 13 people. So it's a pretty good undertaking financially. And I try to keep those higher cost trips at least every other year so I'm not hitting those same resources all the time. And I think the teens as well need to be working to raise some of those funds at the trips that they're going on. I think that's only natural and good practice to do. This year we needed about $5,000 for our trip, which covered not only the costs of the teens going, but our van is a good portion of that trip, which is usually about $1,400 for our rental van, which is expensive, but it's more expensive to own one. So, yeah, I think the van we had, the tag was still in it. It was $40,000 brand new. So $1,400, we can do that. Our spaghetti dinner, we do that. It didn't raise quite as many funds as we were expecting. We had high hopes. It didn't quite get what we were thinking. And, of course, God had different plans. So we reverted back to the brat fry fundraiser. We had done that several years ago. It hadn't done real well in the past, and so I sort of stopped it. We decided, well, we'll bring it back. We have a few, about $500, a little over $500 we had yet to raise for the trip. And so we thought, well, we changed locations. We went to Waldo because of the traffic. We figured would be better. We changed the hours, made them longer to get more people in. We lessened the amount of food we buy to try and just, this is what we have to sell, and once we're out, we're out. There was a few other changes as well. The day came, and of course, I think God has a sense of humor in some respects, and it was foggy and rainy and drizzling, and it was some of the worst weather for a brat fry. It was cold. What a day to have a brat fry. I think those instances make God's grace and His goodness shine through all the more, do they not? By the time we got done that evening, I came back and I was counting the money just to get it counted and tallied up our expenses and stuff afterwards, and we raised somewhere between $900 and $1,000 that one day. So it covered our trip and then some. So, and you know, we shouldn't be surprised. I see this happen time and time again, but I always end up, you know, get those last minutes. Oh, I'm worried, and is it going to come in? And then, of course, God always comes through. But the second answer to prayer, even though I didn't know it was an answer at the time because I didn't know we were necessarily needing it, but it was our chariot for the week. I rent from a company down in Milwaukee. It was where we rent vans. They're very reputable. A very good company to work with. In fact, the only one around that rents 15-passenger vans as well. Chevy makes a pickup. They changed the style of it this year, the Chevy Colorado pickup. They had such demand that they shut down their van factory and were making pickups out of their van factory. As a result, they shorted our rental company 80 brand new vans this year. And so they were left scrambling. So they no longer had 15-passenger vans to rent when I called, which was what we were needing. We had 10, but I figured, well, the extra space I'll just use for luggage. And so that put a ding in my plan. So I rented the 12, and I figured, well, I'll get a trailer. We rented a trailer down from a business in Random Lake last year. This year I called them up again and said, hey, we have our trip. This is what we're doing. Do you have trailers for rent again? Can we rent one? He says, sure. He says, my normal fee is $45 a day, which is around $400 or $500, I think, for the week that we were going to need it. He says, but for you, I'll give it to you for $100 for the whole week. So So like, whoa, okay, another answer to prayer there. The morning I went to pick up the van, I got there, and the rental company says, hey, we're giving you one of our brand new Ford vans. I says, wait a minute, does that have a trailer hitch? No. Oh, no. He says, but I have a Chevy in the lot that you can use if you want. He says, and that has a trailer hitch. I says, okay, he says, let's go with that then. Well, I got talking to him a little bit about their new van, and I says, can I take a look at it? Because he had one right outside. He says, sure, go out and look at it. And this was the van that was sitting outside. It didn't look like much at the beginning, but Dennis was there. He brought me down. We opened up the back doors, and there was a trailer inside the van. Tons of space in the back, and it was more like a minibus than a van, the seats and everything. And I told him, I says, I'll take it. I said, I wanted that one. Because of the storage space, I wasn't going to need the trailer then, so that saved us $100. The van had 127 miles on it. It was brought in 10 days before we got it, and we were able to get 17 miles to the gallon on the way down, which saved us money in gas, too. So we weren't even thinking about this, but God says, here it is, laid it all out for us. So I don't know if you were praying for it, but thank you for your prayers. And of course, the answers didn't stop there with that. That was sort of an unexpected bonus for the trip. This was sort of our weekly schedule that we went through. We had breakfast. They had council groups in the morning. What they actually did is they split the kids up from all the churches. We had kids from all the way from California to the from the West Coast to the East Coast, North to South. We had kids all across the United States. They split them up, and they put kids from different churches into groups. And this was their devotional group for the week. They would meet in the mornings for devotions. They would check in for the different sessions. Together they had a counselor. The counselors were, some of them were youth leaders, some of them were moms and dads from the different, of the kids from different churches. And so those groups sort of became their core. And it almost, I think, in a sense, became family for the week for them. I know a lot of friendships were formed as a result of those particular groups. And, of course, we had morning gathering we got together, and then we had breakout sessions, which were little classes that we had. We're going to talk about that later. And then the MTAs were throughout the day and different practices. And, of course, there was some game time just to unwind right before they went to bed. It was a pretty full schedule for the week. It was kind of unique for Michelle and I in that usually we have something we're in charge of. This time our only responsibility was to get the kids to the convention. That was it. So it freed us up tremendously to spend time with the kids, to follow them around, to go do different things with them, because we didn't have anything else that we were responsible for. So it was a great trip for us. We did get away one night and just spent some us time together, which was different because we didn't have Dawson either, because he was with my folks. So of course the kids all whined because they didn't get to go, but that's all right. Change text on me. These are the ministry training areas. This was the sole big focus of the week itself, was the kids ministering in the church and encouraging them to do so. Travis had this thought some years ago, and I think behind all of it is this, that if you don't have roots, what's keeping you there? And so this is sort of that establishing, helping the teens establish roots in the church, getting them plugged in somewhere and serving, because then when they're serving and plugged into the church, then they're much more likely to stay or to be in a church somewhere else if they're not in their home church, to get plugged in somewhere else. And so these are a number of the things that they had that they do. Our group did drama and the Bible story teaching. We had a number of young men do preaching. Apologetics is a brand new one this year, which they are actually having the teens defend their faith. They give them a topic, and then three pastors grill them. And believe me, they are not easy. I didn't know the answers to some of the questions that they were asking. Sign language was a new one. I'd never seen that, but that's interesting because back home we actually had that in the church I attended in high school. And we had a lady that signed all of the music and the sermons and the prayers and everything, so that we actually had deaf people come to church and they were able to participate because she was able to sign everything to them. So that was a unique thing. I didn't know that they had that, but that was one of the other ones as a part of that. The MTAs themselves, it's not just about presenting, but it's also about encouraging the other teens. And we actually had a chance to do that on Monday. We saw some of the piano pieces that were played in. We nicknamed it the ice box because the air conditioning was stuck on. And I don't know if they ever got it fixed, but... one of the young gals that was there, we actually formed a friendship with her and her mom, and we checked in and talked periodically throughout the week. The mom, I believe, was the leader for some of our girls in the council group. They're from Michigan, so it was interesting to catch up with them and to just discuss some things there. We also went Thursday. We spent most of the day in the apologetics room, just listening to the kids present that stuff. And I know our kids didn't want an audience, but I think it's encouraging to see other people your age in the room wanting and desiring to listen to you and to see what you're presenting. I think that's encouraging and a need there. So our kids presented. I don't know why PowerPoint never works right for me. Our kids presented two skits. The first one was the stool. One Time Blind. This was the group that Josh Sowen, Rebecca Sowen, Clara Cole, and Sam White presented that. The judges were impressed with their presentation. They did receive a Division 1, which is the highest rating they can get for that. And Michelle and I are very pleased with not only the effort they did there, but they've presented it two other times as well. So they've really been moving this one around and done a lot of work. Michelle Leica has been working with them since February, January, somewhere in there. So it was a good long time that they were working with them. TJ Poole, Anya Mensch, and Brianna Quincy did the other one. That was Wharton Finds a What's It by the Skit Guys. It was a Reader's Theater piece, which is brand new to the MTAs. Nobody has ever done that before. In fact, the staff of the ICA was so impressed by it that they actually had the group of three do it in front of the 300 students that were there during an evening service the one night. So Michelle and I both had the similar thought that in doing this piece, maybe we can encourage and open up some more doors of things that the kids can do, because Reader's Theater, it does take some work, but it's a lot easier than memorizing the whole script. And it can still be just as effective in communicating great truths. And we've used it a lot here with the adults. I know Jim and Gary, where are you at? Gary have done quite a bit with that. Some of the ladies I know have done some things as well, and it's very can be very, very powerful pieces to do. So we were that was kind of a unique opportunity for them. We had two Bible story teachings. Brianna Quincy did one of them from the book of Jonah. And I don't know if we always realize the skill sets that our young people have. Brianna and Rebecca are very skilled teachers. In fact, I believe you've taught in the Sunday school class too here. So, don't write off our young people at all. There are some very good, very talented people out there that are young people that can do quite a bit. Rebecca did a piece on Genesis and received a Division 1 for her pieces. She did a science lesson for hers, and Brianna used the flannel graph, which the judges were just excited, so enthused that she used flannel graph because it's sort of gone out of style. But young people still love it. So we had breakout sections during the week. This was a few of them that we did, different classes that they could go to. talking about communicating God's truth, different ways to share the gospel. If you don't know how to get started, the guy was actually giving them some questions to get started with. There was Apologetics 101, Legalism and Liberty. The main speaker did that one. He came out of a very legalistic background, and he discussed a little bit of his journey in that. And the grace of God, and it was a pretty unique thing. Michelle actually connected with him quite a bit in that because of the little Christian school that she went to was right along the same lines of what he came out of. So we were encouraged by that. On Wednesday, I believe it was Wednesday, there was a special breakout session where they divided the 10th and 12th grade girls and guys. They split those groups up and they discuss purity, guys with guys, girls with girls. And then the 7th through 9th graders, they were all in one room and the main speaker shared his testimony. I think it's important, and I'll share this with you because of, I don't know if we realize necessarily all that's going on all the time. Travis Hughesby spoke to the guys the first time he'd ever done it. Normally he speaks to the girls, which I thought was kind of odd, but whatever. He made some comment, I don't remember if it was this or to me, that the stuff he used to share with the college students 15 years ago is the stuff he's now sharing with junior high students because of the stuff that's going on in our world. Young people are exposed, I think, to more than we know. And I know when I was in junior high, and that's been a lot of years ago already, that there was a lot of bad things happening in relational-wise, even when I was in school. And it's gotten worse since then. So be praying for our young people. I know Travis talked that he is already starting to share some, not everything, but some things with his 10-year-old son already. They go on a camping trip, just the two of them, and he shares and discusses a few things to prepare him and to get him, you know, lined up. This is what God's Word says, and this is the truth that we need to be standing upon and for. So be praying for our young people. One of the gals that was at the gal that was head of one of our girls' group does chalk art. She actually gave us one of her pieces that she made at the. We're going to get that framed. But it's a rather unique ministry. I don't think we normally think of it. But she was actually teaching some sessions on how to do that. That was one of the MTAs. But then she also, I thought it was interesting, she uses neon, is that what it is? Chalk. And then when you put a black light on it, you get that. So she actually hides pictures behind the picture. And then she actually did that during one of the sessions. She actually drew a whole picture during the session, or during one of the evening worship times, which was pretty interesting. I know a number of our kids got excited about that, and they were even practicing. She let them practice a little bit on her board between some of the classes. So another encouragement there for ministry. We did have some time for some evening games, of course, to blow off a little steam and just have some fun. Michelle was able to referee a few the volleyball games. Four of our teams played volleyball. TJ played basketball. One of the pictures I wanted to point out, this gentleman right here behind Josh, his name is Colin. Colin is from River's Edge Bible Fellowship down in Pecatonica, a church that we've had some affiliation with. He was at Roundup. He preached. I actually judged his preaching there. Very gifted man in preaching. But our teens have been with him before, and so when we get to convention, they see him. It's an immediate, the relationship picks up right where it left off, and they're able to talk together, to hang out together. It's just so interesting, you know, being the leader on the outside, looking at all the teens doing those things and connecting with the other Christian kids there. Just an amazing, amazing thing. Pastor Jason is from a church in Indiana. Back in 2012, when we went to the Creation Museum, his church was there, and he was there, and we actually hung out with his church youth group that one night. I got to the convention, I thought, boy, you look familiar. And so we got to talking a little bit. Yeah, he says, I remember you were from the Creation Museum trip and so on and so forth. And then we were able to connect right back up and to pick up where we left off. And I don't know if we always understand that, but relationships aren't just important for the adults, they're important for the kids too. and for their encouragement and being. What an amazing thing it is to be among other like-minded Christian teens, to be in this atmosphere that's solely Christian and believers. You know, when a number of our kids are in public school and stuff, and they're surrounded by all the stuff that is there to have that kind of fellowship, what a positive thing that is. And while the convention was about spiritual emphasis, it's also, of course, about the fellowship with other people. This was TJ playing volleyball, some of our girls playing there. Colin actually joined the team with our girls. They had three players taking on six, and so Colin says, "Hey, I'll jump in and help you out." So TJ playing basketball there. And then this was our main speaker for the week, Chris Knobloch. He's from Michigan. He's a puppeteer. He is does very well with dramatic monologues. They actually have a ministry called God's Helping Hands, which is completely missionary supported. And so they go from church to church. They actually were on a 10-week travel tour, going around doing puppet skits and stuff at different events. And so they were actually able to come to convention. He's also a very good speaker. And our worship time consisted of a number of different things. He was, and his team were there during the evening ministering to us. And this is where we met, there at Cedarville in the Dixon Ministry Center. And this was some photos of our times together. Travis says there was about 315 students that attended convention this year. So it was down a little bit from last year, but still, 315 students together. That's pretty good, I thought. There's a picture of us together in the facility. TJ, Anya, and Brianna perform, or not perform, I hate to say perform, because I don't want to call it performance, I want to call it a presentation, because they're presenting God's Word. They presented their MTA before the group. And this was our topics then for the evening. All focused on that theme, enough is enough. And then they went down and explored different things. I think probably Wednesday night was probably the most impactful for our group. We didn't know what was going on. Chris got out, he set a stool right in the middle of the stage, and they shut all the lights off in the building. And then he had some LED lights or something that he had that just spotlighted on him. And then he did a dramatic monologue of the Great White Throne Judgment. As one of the people being judged. And what an amazing piece it was. Not just the presentation, but the communication of the Word and the thoughts there. And so many of us walked away with the conviction of, and this is what he was trying to drive home, is that how many people do you know that are unsaved? And how many people may be facing this as their future? And then the encouragement then to actually go forth and to share the Word, for our young people to share it with their friends, perhaps even their parents. I know a number of folks, especially down in the Pecatonica area, the kids don't come from Christian homes. It really, really spoke to us that evening and encouraged us to be proactive in sharing the Word of God. Friday was student-led worship. We actually had, there's three of our girls there in the middle. There was an orchestra, there was a student orchestra, a student choir, and then a number of the people did MTAs during the evening. One of the young men preached that evening. So the leaders had nothing to do with it at all that evening. It was just the kids leading us in worship and stuff. And they also presented some scholarships. And Josh was actually able to receive a college scholarship that evening for his MTA that he did. You can take it to schools affiliated with the IFCA and actually get some money towards your tuition and things too. We're closing off here. I'm running out of time. Teens, we had them respond to two questions on Friday. It was Friday or Thursday, about the week that they had had. What was the most interesting part of their week? And then secondly, what did they learn that will change the way they live and represent Christ in their church and community? They didn't quite answer all of the question too, but I got some good responses. The questions are going to be side by side, so it'll be One teen will be answering question one and then question two, and you'll actually see it'll be down here on the screen which question they're answering, and then their name will be right here as to which teen they are, so that you know who they are. But we're going to go ahead and watch that right now so you can get some feedback from them as to what their take from the week was. So if you would go ahead and play that, Vivian, for me, I'd appreciate it.
The most interesting thing about the week for me was probably watching the apologetics MTAs, ministry training areas. It was just kind of encouraging to see kids as young as 13 years old preparing to defend their faith in that way, and it really kind of inspired me to learn more about it so I could be prepared for that, those situations.
Okay.
On Wednesday night, Chris shared a dramatic monologue about the Great White Throne Judgment, and that was, it just, you know, makes you think about people and, you know, once they die, there's no way they can ever be saved, and we really need to make sure that we share the gospel with them, because once they die, there's no going back, and just to win more souls for Christ.
The most interesting part was meeting new people from all across the country, from different states, and like learning about them and what goes on there. That we have to, well, we should say that that we did that with the help of the Lord and not just by ourselves, because if we were on our own, A, we wouldn't get to heaven, and B, we wouldn't be able to do anything without Him.
Meeting friends and being able to fellowship with them and learning more about God. This week I learned God is enough because we are not complete unless He is with us.
I think that one of the most interesting things was to be with other people around the United States and to have a different speaker who talked different and learned different things about God. I learned that if you need to look to God more than basing yourself just on yourself, and also that there's people out there, they might seem fine, but you should try to reach out to everyone and show them God's love.
That's a real good question. It was probably me getting to know about how you're supposed to deal with other people in sharing Christ and stuff.
Okay.
There was this guy, his name was Chris Knobloch, I think, and he talked about this documentary called The Darkness, and it was really good. It was about him being judged and going up to heaven, and he was devastatedly disappointed in how God sent him to hell, because he wasn't worthy enough. And yeah, that was pretty interesting. Probably two things. One was in apologetics. It was about homosexuality, and I have a friend that's bisexual. She's not really a friend, but she's sort of a friend. And I wanted to share that with her because it is wrong. And now I know, like, the arguments that will be happening, and I'm kind of prepared now for that. Also, sharing a dorm with someone, that is hard, very hard, but you eventually get to learn that the person you're with in the dorm is actually pretty cool when you get to know how much you have not in common, because that's the thing that kind of brings you together. Opposites bring you together. That's probably it. Yeah.
The most interesting part was on Thursday night. There's a guy called Chris, who came from God's Helping Hands, and he is very good with ventriloquism, and he brought this dummy Oliver. And Oliver is a monkey, and he thinks that he can kiss all of the girls, and that was probably the funniest part of the week, because it made me laugh. And then later on, me and Anya took a picture with Oliver. I think the thing that I most learned is they have a new course this year called Apologetics, and that really impacted me, because what apologetics is how to defend our faith. So I watched several different people doing apologetics MTAs. I believe that I watched 4 or 5, and they were just very impactful, because the judges, after these people would be done presenting, would ask them tons of questions about their skit, and they would have to try and defend what they said. And it was really cool, because that's what we'll go up against in the real world. So it was just really cool, and that's what I did for a lot of the week, was apologetics. And that is probably what influenced me most, and will be what helps me most, because I'll know how to defend what I believe. And that's very important to me.
I would say probably the 5K run I just did today. Other than that, it was probably the basketball the other two nights. And I definitely really liked the puppet shows that the group called God's Helping Hands did for the main shows.
Okay.
For the main sessions. Probably one of the main ones was the main quote for the whole week, the enough is enough, that God is enough for us, and Jesus did completely enough for us on the cross that we don't have to worry about trying to earn our salvation or stuff like that. And another one was in one of the breakout sessions was the don't show favoritism.
Probably the most interesting part of my week would be making new friends and being able to hang out with these really cool people. I had a really fun time, and I kind of didn't think I would. What I learned, and it was kind of sobering for me, was a lot of people that I hung out with are really spiritually mature, and they, you know, they're asking like tough questions, and they're really deep into the Word, and I'm not at that stage yet, and that was really kind of like a wake up for me to see these guys that are so into this, and I don't think I've been just, you know, I wouldn't say that I've been, you know, like a lazy Christian, but I definitely have not been growing as much as I should have, so that was definitely a wake up for me.
If you didn't catch it, the apologetics pretty well impacted them. I know there's a number of them that are talking about doing that for Roundup this coming year. So this was just a final picture that we had with our group. Any questions, of course, let me know. I talked to one of the teens. They kept asking me the whole trip, what's going to go on? I says, I don't know. I says, you know as much as I do. I says, we're heading to Cedarville College or Cedarville University. I says, that's about all I know. I says, I know there's going to be a convention there, and I know they got the details figured out. So, it was just a great week for the kids and for Michelle and I, and we thank you for your support for us through that. Debating. We're at 25 after. I could do the sermon, but that'd be another 20 minutes. Do we want to take a vote? Yeah. What's that? Anonymous ballot. You want to preach it? Are we okay with that? All right.